From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone, and you've got OneRadioNetwork.com. Good to have you here. It's a beautiful day in Central Texas. It is burr, though, but lots of sunshine. And that's the deal, right? You get that old Mr. Sun out there, or Mrs. Sun. Well, these days, you got to call it he, she, or it, right? They. But don't get me started. Okay, it is December 4, 2018. Tomorrow, Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money. He's our go-to money guy. We've been doing a Wednesday show with Andrew for 11 years now, something 12 years. And we learn a lot about the world of money and delve a bit into geopolitics and how that affects the value of your dollar and... One of the biggest challenges, of course, is that we are learning how to live a lot longer than we ever have. Those of us who pay attention, and you're part of that, you gotta not outlive your money. If you outlive your money, it's like not good. So we do the money thing. Thursday, a gentleman we had on some years ago, Master Zing Ka Kang Sha. He's pretty cool. Master healer, a divine servant, creator of soul, mind, body, medicine, and author of Tao Classics, and a really cool guy. And 5 years ago, we spoke with him. And then also Nadine Artemis. She's a beauty philosopher, aromacologist, creator of Living Libations. And we talk about, knows a lot about essential oils and how to be cute for the holidays, and she's got a lot of great information on the teeth too, and she's just quite a nice lady, and of Living Libations. You've heard of Living Libations, so she'll be on Thursday. Well, up first this morning is an interesting gentleman. He's a chiropractor. He's been on a couple of times before, but we like his work. We find him quite unique in the way he kind of digs in, and so we have a lot of digs into these things we call disease, and so we thought we'd spend a good time this morning, and we invite you to participate and ask questions and such and comments, and you can do that by 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and his name is Dr. Ilya Solnikov. Someday I'm going to get that. It's going to roll right off my tongue. Solnikov. And he's out in San Rafael, California. And he studied acupuncture, oriental medicine, kinesiologist. He uses a lot of kinesiology. I mean, we can chat about that a little bit. UCLA, Cleveland College of Chiropractic. And... he's got quite a website, and he talks to people around the world, does consultations, and you could probably do one with him if you want. And we'll ask him about that. So, Dr. Solnikov, good morning.
Hi.
How you
good
doing?
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, nice
to talk. The pleasure is all mine.
The pleasure is all yours. San Rafael. Where is that? Is that around San Francisco?
San Rafael is just a half hour north of San Francisco, yeah. People come here for vacation a lot of the time.
Yeah. Were you all near any of the fire stuff?
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started with the fires, Patrick. Everybody's still trying to recover from that.
Really?
All the patients coming in had their lungs all, you know, goofed up, and we had to help them with that. And, yeah, a lot of people are still not feeling well. They're just feeling kind of out of it and tired and, just feeling really off. But, yeah, so we had the fires here.
Now, is it, as they've contained the Most of it, huh? Right now.
Well, the rains came, luckily, about a week ago or a week and a half ago that the rains came. And so it took a couple of days, actually, for the rains to put out the fires. But now the fires are out.
Oh, what a mess.
As far as I understand. I don't watch a lot of news. I try to stay focused on positive news and a lot of the news.
Yeah.
As you know, is sensational. So.
Yeah. We picked out a few subjects just for fun that we're going to go through so we don't get bogged down in one area. But we're going to talk about detoxing, also not menopause, but menstruation, right? Menopausal symptoms. And there's a lot of interesting things there for you gals to ask questions about. And Dr. Skolnikov has looked very deeply into this. Also, lifestyle changes that his patients he works with. Certainly getting some diet and water. And what else do we have on the list here? Do we have something else on the list?
About the 7 pitfalls you must avoid if you want to have a healthy thyroid. We talk about the healing crisis and what happens when people have a homeopathic aggravation or a Herzheimer reaction. Where those are the kind of things that we got.
And you really are a thyroid specialist per se, aren't you? I mean, this is one of the big items on your list that you do.
I'm the real deal, Patrick.
You're the real deal. Do you have that on your on your card?
Personal.
Huh? You have that on your business card, Dr. Skolnikov, the real deal in thyroid.
No. It just says that. It says I'm a thyroid expert on my business card, but it doesn't say I'm the real deal.
Yeah. And why do you think you are more than most? I mean, just the way you approach it or your research or why?
Yeah. Well, I want to try to do a quick answer.
Well, don't worry. Take your time.
Take
your time. We got plenty of time. Just be yourself.
When you go to a healthcare provider, the thing that they do is, like, let's say if you're having difficulties with your emotional state, you might go to a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist will help you with emotional imbalances. If you're having a lot of back pain or knee pain or, you know, elbow pain or whatever the case may be, thyroid pain, okay, in the area of the anterior portion of the neck, you'd go to maybe a medical doctor who could do a surgery or a chiropractor who can do chiropractic adjustments. And if you go to a nutritionist or something, that's what they do is they help with the chemical imbalances. You know, let's say you have a poor diet or you've been exposed to heavy metals or, you know, you're taking medications or whatever the case may be. That's what they'll help with. They'll help with nutrition. But none of these types of healthcare providers are really helping with all aspects of health, all structural, chemical, and emotional aspects. You have to go to different healthcare providers to get help with that. If you hear a slight bit of noise in the background, it's just because I moved a paper around.
No, don't worry about it. No, you're fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But the noise should get better as we go. So you'd have to go to a homeopath to get homeopathic remedies. You'd have to go to a chiropractor to get chiropractic adjustments. You'd have to go to an herbalist to get herbs. Yeah. You'd have to go to an applied kinesiologist like myself if you want to have really great, accurate muscle testing done to figure out what's going on. And you'd have to go to an orthopedic surgeon or an orthopedist if you wanted to get orthopedic testing done to find out if something's wrong with a bone or a joint or a ligament or a tendon. So you have to go to all these different healthcare providers, but in our office, we're doing all of those things. I guess now I'm officially bragging if you're wondering what I'm doing.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
No, I really am. But I'm not just bragging. I'm describing what I do. You know, that I'm doing... We're doing all these things. So if somebody has a thyroid condition, the Hippocrates, go ahead. Do you want to have another question?
No. Go ahead. Continue what you were saying.
Hippocrates, he was the father of modern medicine. And he said, the highest good is to find the cause. And what he meant by that is you need to diagnose what's the problem first before you offer a treatment. So, you know, if somebody's having really bad headaches, yeah, sure. You know, if I'm having really bad headaches and I have no idea what's causing my headaches, how the headaches got there, how to get them from coming back, you know, what time I woke up that morning, what I ate for breakfast, I don't know anything. I'm just kind of out in the blue like a chipmunk or a squirrel. Yeah, I mean, an aspirin to help me with my headaches, that's great if it works and my headaches go away. But you know, what's causing my headaches? I want to know, you know, how do I keep these headaches from coming back in the future? And how do I get rid of them? So I need to diagnose the cause. Is it something I ate? Is it something I drank? Is it something I came into contact with? Is it something I breathed? Mm-hmm. Is it something, an emotional thing? Let's say my wife left me, or, you know, I lost my job, or, you know, I just got into an accident or something like that, a car accident, that's, or my son died, whatever. I mean, anything can cause a headache. So, you know, just treating symptoms with a pill or a potion or a lotion or a something that comes from, you know, the Himalayan province of, you know, northern India where all things are good, you know, that's not necessarily healthcare. That's more of like symptom relief or just, you know, it's sort of like philosophical fun, but maybe not going to help a person with their health. And, you know, people like in America, for example, no offense to all of us, but we want a quick fix, you know. We want to have an instant oatmeal. We want to have a microwave oven. You know, we want to have a get rich quick and stay wealthy, you know, but we don't really want to do the hard work and do the labor involved in cooking our food, getting wealthy over 10 or 20 years or 30 years. You know, we don't want to, you know, wait for all that. So we just want everything to happen right away. And when it comes to our health, that's also what we want.
Yeah.
So,
well said. Now, it's certainly been my experience that as what even, of course, natural healing has turned into over these many years I've studied it is, well, as you know, there's so many spiritual, emotional issues involved.
Absolutely.
With health and gosh, folks, our listeners, you have to dig in and if you really want to get over it, right? And not have to spend your whole life, you know, concerned about your health. Where do you usually start, Doc, with people say that they want to dig in? Do you want to go through some of the lifestyle things that you get folks working on?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the basic kind of stuff, right?
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's kind of the basic stuff. Let's start there and talk about some of the things that you have come across that really work that you encourage your people to do, you know, do less of this and do more of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So we want to see what's the thing that's the cause, right? So we want to diagnose, we want to do the exam first. So a person would, you know, fill out some forms and just that one part, you know, let's say I've never met them. I've never even seen them. I've never, none of that. If they fill out some forms and the forms are, you know, I have like, about 15 or so or 16 pages of forms, at least for females. Males have a few less forms. No particular reason why, just the reproductive system of a male is a little bit less complex. So they fill out the forms and the forms have a toxicity questionnaire to see if they were exposed to something toxic. And these 16 pages, the forms are asking all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're asking, you know, when was your first cycle? Did you ever have clotting? If it's for a female, do you ever have low libido? You know, what are some of your symptoms? And it goes through the different systems of the body, you know, the stomach, the spleen, the pancreas, blood sugar imbalances, low stomach acid, high stomach acid, which is debatable whether or not anyone even has high stomach acid. But anyway, it's going through, things about the,
okay. You know, so we kind of get the general idea of people are, you know, becoming a patient. This is how you begin. So let's talk to our listeners around the world. So let's talk to our listeners around the world who's sitting in front of their computer right now on this Tuesday morning. And, let's talk about some of the things that you hone in on as far as what you think with all your experience that people are doing that could be detrimental to their health and some things they could look at that would be more beneficial in the way of lifestyle and the diet and stuff. Let's do that.
Okay. So one of the things that people do, at least in my area, I'm not sure about in the other areas, but in my area, a lot of people are, they're, you know, using a pot, marijuana, like, you know, once a month or three times a month or whatever. And it's throwing off their whole system and they actually have developed an allergy to it. So sometimes it's causing them to have neck pain and other symptoms.
Huh.
Some people are using essential oils, Patrick. Some people don't get enough sunlight. I'm gonna urge you to interrupt me if I just keep going.
No,
too
I
far
will. You know me. I do because
they have.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You know, they're exposed to they're at the wrong elevation. They're living in the wrong kind of water. Weather. Excuse me. It's kind of early over here. So they're having a problem with their work. They're having a problem with the place that they sleep. You know, they're having all these different difficulties, and nobody's ever really told them that. Just yesterday, this one lady came in. It doesn't really matter who, but she came in and she was taking these birth control pills, and these birth control pills were really causing some pretty serious problems. And so, you know, we just had her, we're going to have her not take those birth control pills. You know, they're upsetting her monthly cycle, obviously, which humans are supposed to have a monthly cycle. You know, we're not supposed to not have our monthly cycle. That's how you bring about new life, is by having a regular, normal, healthy monthly cycle. So if you take a pill or something, you know, a contraceptive that's interrupting that, that's a huge, huge deal. I mean, that interrupts the messages coming from a couple of glands in the brain called the hypothalamus. If we had an orchestra of players, think of the hypothalamus as being the composer of the music, and then the pituitary is like the conductor of the orchestra. So the messages from those two glands that go then to the adrenal glands and the pancreas and the other hormone glands and organs, those messages are disrupted by the birth control. And so just think of all the players not knowing what kind of music to play. I mean, you're going to have a terrible sounding orchestra.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went over with her options. You know, she can use an application for her phone to find out when her monthly cycle is, as long as her cycle is regular every month. She can get something called Cycle Beads. There's a website called cyclebeads.com, and that'll help her take care of her, you know, figure out her monthly cycle and choose when to have sex with or without, you know, a condom with her boyfriend. And that's more effective than birth control pills. It's been researched to be more effective than birth controls, or slightly more effective, and it doesn't cause the person to have anything toxic. I went over with her getting a fertility test kit from the internet, and the fertility test kit, which you can buy, you know, I just said that over the internet, right? It'll show you when you're fertile each month. You could just take a sample of your vaginal lubricant, and then it should fern underneath the microscope. And if it ferns, you know, literally looks like a fern, then that means you're fertile. And if it doesn't, then you're not. And it's only ferning, and you're only fertile really about 5 days, or maybe 7 days throughout the course of a month.
And those kits are accurate, you think? And what are they called?
Fertility test kit. They actually use them all over Europe and here in order to become pregnant. But what most people don't realize is it's also great to prevent pregnancy.
Sure.
Because if you know when you can become pregnant, not only is it a good time if you want to get pregnant to have more sex, but it's a good time to make sure you're protecting yourself if you can become pregnant during those days and that time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I've often wondered. So let's say you're on a Tuesday, and the gal will take the vaginal lubrication and will tell you if you're kind of firming or ferning or whatever the word is. This is a Tuesday, and then have sex, and those little spermies are in there, and then you start ovulating or becoming fertile like on a Wednesday or Thursday. Isn't that, I mean, can the eggs, and they could still get together then that way, right?
They can, yes. But if it's on a Tuesday and it's on a Saturday then that you're having sex, they can't. So they can only live 3 days in the body.
Let's see. Oh, the spermies only live 3 days.
It can survive 3 days. Yeah, don't forget the sperm are kind of delicate. They can't survive in open air very easily.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, excuse me, life does tend to persist. So you don't want to, you know, kind of like if you were watching Jurassic Park, you know, that scene where it's like life persists and all the dinosaurs.
So you have to have a window on either side, and not trying to, you know, you have to have some leg room on either side of the ovulation period. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Well, not on the other side too much because, I mean, they say that, but really it's on the beginning. It's the beginning of the
beginning,
cycle,
right.
That,
yeah,
you know, you're really fertile, you know, the woman's ready to get pregnant. And right at the end, you just have to know when it begins and ends. That's the trick. You need to know that time. So that's why I'm going over, excellent question. Thanks for asking. That's why I'm going over, you know, number one, fertility test kit. Way to go. Thumbs up, you know. Number two, get the cycle beads. It's not going to hurt. It might cost $20 or $40 or more. Who cares? Just maybe you're low on money, but pay that money. And then, number three, get the application for your phone. The majority of them are free. Being that I'm a male, I don't actually have one because I'm not checking for myself, but I'm assuming they're mostly free.
Yeah.
So,
what are some things that the ladies are doing that are causing the cycles to get irregular? And then say I have an irregular cycle. What are some things that cause that?
Well, it's not just ladies or men. It's also men, but men don't have a monthly cycle. So, you know, people might think I'm a little crazy in saying that, but we have a monthly cycle. It's just not pronounced like in a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So what men actually have their mood change a little bit throughout the course of a month as well. It's just, yeah, let's focus on women. I don't want to get sidetracked, but they're too stressed out at work. They're stressed out. They could have chemical stress, meaning a poor diet. They could have physical stress, meaning, you know, maybe they teach kickboxing and it's just too stressful on their body, or maybe they don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It really could be almost anything. There could be social causes of their stress. I mean, boy, oh boy. They could have too much responsibility in their lives. They could have had trauma when they were a kid. Trauma.
Just your basic idea of planet Earth living, Doc, with angst or worry and whatever, uncomfortable or uncertainty in one's life, that can certainly affect the menstrual cycle.
It could, yeah. I mean, well, they could be emotionally upset. It's not just that. They might be wearing the wrong kind of skin care that's toxic and that causes cancer and that causes their ovaries to dissolve because it contains parabens and phthalates, and it could contain your favorite, the glyphosate.
Glyphosate, right?
Yeah, you're a glyphosate studied person. So yeah, it could do all those things. You know, we're talking about anything can be happening, and so the exam, you know, diagnosing what's the cause is just hugely, hugely important, because if we don't know what's causing the health concern, then we can't get rid of it. They could be using peanut oil. They can be using canola oil. They can be, putting on tons of sunscreen and now they're not getting enough sun and now they're deficient in vitamin D and, you know, vitamin D is important and now they're in quite a bit of trouble in that regard. And so,
yeah, it's always,
you know,
something.
I mean, go ahead.
I got you. Yeah. Stay right there. Dr. Ilya Skolnikov. And if you have a question, it is Patrick at oneradionetwork.com, 888-663-6386. Around this time of the year, we often do a little special deal with our far infrared sauna. And what we do is we have these heat lamps, but they're actually far infrared lamps and they're heat. And they have this great crook neck thing so you can adjust them pretty easily. And they're really, really nice. Cause I found you can set them on the floor, for example, and, you know, lie down. And if you have something going on in your lower back or in your neck or middle back or something like that, you can shine these babies on there. And, I've known people and I played with mine with digestion. You can put them right on there. Guys have used these right on their testicles to, make everybody more happy down there in south of the border, and testosterone loads that keeps up there too doing that, because this is the far infrared rays and the warming and heat. So it's pretty, these are lamps are cool, and we can give you a deal with a far infrared sauna and a lamp for $1,125 if you'd like to get both of those. Or if you'd just like to get one, let me know and we'll ship you the lamp. Or if you just want the sauna, those are $9.95. And we're not allowed to put this price on the website because it's a special price we only do over the air orally. So Gee, you have to email me to get the price, otherwise they're $11.95. And that's all you got to do. Send me an email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. patrick@oneradionetwork.com. And then we'll work it out. And you can get it for the whole family and have the sauna set up in your home. Takes a little bit to set it up, not much at all. They're portable, and the whole family can use them. And what a great gift for the family. And you'll start this holiday season and keep her going, baby. All right? And just to email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. You heard us talk about living streams before. And this is Dr. Richard Olry, who is a cool guy. And I can give you some ideas just going quickly here after this about some things you can do. Get rid of these glyphosates using the Living Streams products.
Dr. Richard Olry, authority on minerals, talks about gut bacteria, making the vitamins, and absorbing the minerals. How it all works.
We need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals. And then minerals provide a resonant frequency. And those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure. This is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. When you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals.
Here's an idea of a couple of the Living Streams you can take for what we're talking about here. The Bifido, Living Streams Multi-Blend, and the Living Minerals. So you're getting the minerals, the Bifido, and the lactobacillus. And these special probiotics and minerals are all in human DNA form, and they are living alive. In our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. And Wayne says if you do the Chabide and the Bifido together, that the bacteria, this good bacteria will help eat up glyphos in the body. So at this point, I'm just believing him because he's a very well-researched guy. If you'd like to check out some of Andrea's seed oils, you can click on the front page. These are the most pristine oils ever on the planet. I can say that, if you saw and talked to Andreas and heard some of our shows we've done with him, a couple, on how he presses these oils in a press that only a German mind can come up with virtually no friction and no heat. It's just amazing how high quality of an oil he can get. Yeah, and you can use these. Mostly people use them for more medicinal rather than thinking of an oil. Olive oil, stuff like that. But he has hemp oil. He also has Apex CBD oil, which I think is one of the most powerful CBD oils I've come across. And I tried a lot of them because people were always sending me when the CBD thing started. Flaxseed oil, coriander seed oil, the five seed oil blend, black cumin seed oil, black sesame oil, coriander oil, sunflower oil. You can put this on your face. They've tested a few of these already. There's virtually no oxidation, which is unheard of in an oil. They're in Myron glass, so there's no heat, no friction, no oxidation, and you're getting pristine oils. I mean, you taste these babies, and it tastes like real oil. They're amazing. Andrea's seed oils right on the front page. So give them a try if you like. And, anything. You can put them on a little baked potato or something like that, or just put some over a piece of meat or chicken or put a few things in a salad or just take teaspoons of them for particular things. But like, for instance, what's the one of the pumpkin seed oil? I mean, if I have prostate things going on, I'd certainly be taking some of the pumpkin seeds because they've been shown to really help with prostate function and healing. And I'd be doing that pumpkin seed oil every day if I had some prostate challenges. But that's just me. And these are Andrea's seed oils right on the front page. Andrea's seed oil.
Broadcasting live, weekday morning, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
Ilya Skolnikov is with us, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com. And we'll give you Dr. Skolnikov's, it is triadofhealth.net, triadofhealth.net. Well, Doc, what do you think are contributing factors to all of the sperm count numbers that we're seeing? I read stories all the time, and it's It's pretty amazing. It's amazing that people are even having babies. I mean, some of the numbers I see with sperm counts and motility and all that is just, wow, just, it's a lot, isn't it? It's really going on.
It's disturbing. Well, I don't think you were expecting such a specific answer from me, but here we go.
That's all right.
We don't need to wonder what's causing the sperm count to go down. We know exactly what's causing it to go down. So we have radiation in our environment that we haven't had at any time, and any known time in human history. There's some indications in the fossil records that there might have been radiation that came from somewhere several thousand, quite a few thousand years ago, about 25,000 or more years ago. But now, ever since World War II and Oppenheimer's development of the atomic bomb and testing it out in Nevada and different parts of the world, you know, it's been tested over 250 times, underground mostly. And so the levels of radiation have gone up hundreds of times since that happened in the late 1930s and early 1940s.
Oh, so you're speaking of you're speaking
of
nuclear
food and our soil.
Yeah, you're speaking of nuclear radiation.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. And they started with
Fukushima.
The
test. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, we have chemicals in our air and our water and our food and our soil. We're exposed to over 10,000 chemicals a day is what the experts are saying. So with that kind of chemical exposure, oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. We have in our water alone, we have pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, mildicides, insecticides, fertilizers for food, emulsifiers for food, food coloring stabilizers and additives. We have trihalomethanes, benzenes, glyphosates, as you know, which is a weed killer. Basically, it's similar to Agent Orange. We have chlorofluorocarbons. We have heavy metals. We have the radioactive material. We have chloramine, which is a mixture of chlorine and ammonia. We have ammonia itself and chlorine. We have drugs in the water. They've been found in most, not all, but many cities, both in Europe and in the United States. Don't even get me started. The government itself has admitted to putting some things in the water, some antidepressants and things in the water, and some actual... like, you know, substances in the water that, that, you know, shouldn't be in there. Okay.
Right, right.
So, I mean, we're talking a lot of the things that were initially given to the troops during World War II that were only for that population were then given to the civilians and they were used to, preserve the food, basically the preservatives. So we have the pesticides. We have the oil spills. We have all these things. We have the mercury, as you know, has gotten out into the oceans. The fish are eating it, you know, are eating it. So the large fish have mercury. I'm referring mainly to tuna, shark, and swordfish. Do you want me to keep going? Or?
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So, so you painted a, you know, pretty interesting picture. So obviously.
Xenoestrogens.
Yeah, and obviously we don't.
Compounds.
Obviously
that are
really we don't.
Causing the biggest problem.
Obviously we don't recommend people drinking tap water. Obviously that. What, yeah, because, boy, that's, so I know that
Sorry, my bad.
That's right. Some of your favorite water that you told last time we were on the show, you like this, what's the bottle one that you think is a Crystal Geyser? You like that one?
You think we've tested it all over the United States, and what we found is that some people who are in Montreal and some other parts of the world, even here, you know, they're drinking an alkaline water, and I'm not saying that there's not a great benefit to an alkaline water at all. But what I will say is that first you need to diagnose what's going on with your body, because the water that might be good for you probably isn't good for someone else, and the water that's good for someone else isn't necessarily good for you. So if a person's highly acidic, they should probably drink an alkaline, and if a person's highly alkaline, they should probably drink maybe a slightly acidic water, but they need a water that's going to work for them, hopefully one that's pH balanced. So the majority, I mean, the overwhelming majority of my patients are too alkaline. They're not too acidic. So if they were to, and they have infections, often they'll have a fungal infection, meaning an imbalance in candida, which is a normally occurring substance in the digestive tract in all normal humans. So if they have too much, if they're too alkaline and they drink an alkaline water and it makes them more alkaline, it just causes them to feel worse, have less energy, and not be as healthy.
The common thing that people...
There's exceptions. Yeah.
The common thing that people think, generally, this whole acid alkaline thing, that the people are always trying to make themselves more alkaline, but you find a lot of the people you work with, it's exactly the opposite. And what's making them more alkaline?
The thing that's making them more alkaline is they have an infection.
Oh, infection.
And what I would urge every single listener to consider is, if you're reading a book and it tells you that you should do X, Y, or Z, drink this kind of water or that kind of water, or that you're too alkaline or too acidic or whatever, my question is this. Have you met the author of the book? And has the author of that book done an exam for you? And do they know exactly what's right for you? And if you haven't met them, and if they haven't done an exam, then with all due respect, why would you listen to each and every little word of advice that they're giving you if they've never even met you before? You need to diagnose first. You need a real live coach, a mentor, a healthcare provider, whatever, especially if it's health, you know, somebody who knows about health, who's met you, who's examined you and actually has information that's come from your body and not just theories about what often happens with people in many instances. Even a lot of the stuff I'm saying, it applies to, it's kind of general blanket, you know, blanket treatment approach, which, you know, it's not really so great because, you know, the person, you know, if 80% of people do well with coenzyme Q10, for example, what about the 20% of people who don't? If everybody starts taking more coenzyme Q10, 20% of the people will get really sick and 80% of the people will benefit. What if you're one of the 20%? Just get an exam. Just get somebody who can figure you out, who knows what's going on, who understands what's happening with your specific body, not just a generalized approach. Yeah. You know, you can't fix a problem if you don't know what the problem is to begin with. You know, you need to first get the diagnosis of the exam.
I understand.
You know, that kind of thing.
How relevant are these, say, a broad spectrum blood test for people listening around? Do you think these are valuable to get without any help?
So the thing with the blood test is people are just doing what they're told, and they're following they're doing what everyone else is doing. You know, if everyone is jumping off the, here we have the Golden Gate Bridge in Northern California. If everybody starts jumping off of it and they're all dying, I'm not going to do it. Okay. I want to live a long, healthy life. That doesn't mean that there's not somebody who has a special suit that they wear that can successfully jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, be put on Channel 5 on the news, and then make it, and then they get paid a lot of money for being on the news. I mean, I want to talk to that guy. So I'm making an analogy here. If you do a blood lab, first of all, who does the labs, Patrick, if you don't mind me asking, in your opinion? Is it the people who are real sick and they're not feeling well, and then they decide they want to get a lab to figure out what's wrong? Or is it the healthy people who are going places, doing things, they have tons of energy, they feel great, they're not necessarily an athlete, but they exercise regularly? Which person tends to get more labs?
Well, I would think the people that are not feeling well.
The sick people get more labs.
Right.
So what they do is they take an average of all the sick people who are getting labs, and they say, this is normal. All the sick people, we consider them to be, the average of them to be normal, which is preposterous. It's ridiculous. Of course they're not normal. So then what they do is they say, okay, it just so happens that in Mississippi, most people have really poor blood sugar, right? So in Mississippi, if they have really bad blood sugar, then, you know, normal for blood sugar in Mississippi will be 112, you know, glucose plasma. But then if everybody's blood sugar is pretty balanced here in the San Francisco Bay Area, normal for blood sugar is 98. So in Mississippi, since the average is about 112, you're healthy if you're at about 110.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come over here to San Francisco Bay Area, you got diabetes. So it's like, how could you have diabetes in one geographic region of the country and yet you're normal in another? Patrick, it's a pathology lab. I know you're asking a good question. It's not an lab that checks for health. It's checking for dysfunction, disease, pathology. It's checking for something that's really off. Because the only thing that they're doing is they're screening for whether or not you need a medication, if you need radiation therapy, or if you need a surgical procedure. And those are the only real three therapies that they have, as your listeners know and as you know. So I think it would make more sense to be able to find somebody like myself or one of my colleagues or, you know, who has a literally an unlimited number of therapies to help that person. And they can do an unlimited number of different kinds of labs that are actually specific, that can get useful information. Sometimes the labs are specific and get useful information. You know, you do a thyroid lab, a blood lab, and it shows everything's off and the person has thyroid disease and it shows there on the lab. That's helpful. Now you know. But now what do you do about it? You know, what are the therapies available? Well, that's just it. There's only those three therapies. They're basically screening for whether or not you need medication.
Okay. Well, there you go. Here's an email for you. Can Dr. Skolnikov recommend some lasting solutions for grinding teeth while sleeping, which is contributing to experience some chronic insomnia?
Absolutely. Get your liver detoxified and start doing a little bit of yoga and meditation and buy a night guard and that's it. You're done.
Really? So it's a symptom, I guess, just of tension in the body and toxicity in the liver?
About 92% of the time it's a toxic liver.
Mm.
And, you know, the other 8% of the time it's due to stress. But either way, it could be just stress to the liver. But either way, you can just buy a night guard from a really qualified dentist. Maybe a holistic dentist or a biological dentist would be great. So you go to that type of dentist and then they can, nowadays they're actually charging a lot. In my area, they're charging like $1,600 for one of these
crazy.
Night guards.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. In your area, they might charge less, like $400 to $500 or $800.
Years and years ago, I had a dentist that actually recommended you could go in and get some of these wax night guards and make your own. You know, you just heat them up.
Yeah,
and it worked pretty cool. It worked pretty cool. It was like, you know, $20.
Yeah.
$20. You know, that was a long time ago, but I wouldn't pay $1,500 for that, would you?
Yeah, anyway, I would.
Yeah, you would. Okay.
Yes, I would.
Okay. You would. Okay. So what
I
are you?
I have bruxism and I wear one every night. Yeah.
Do you really?
I had a toxic liver. That's why I got started doing this kind of work.
You had it.
I took Accutane, because I had this really toxic, I was having, really bad acne for years.
From
the time I was a early teen all the way until I was around 17 or so. And the acne was so bad. I had cystic acne. It's like I had more than two eyes, you know, and it was disgusting. And, I couldn't really get a date. You know, the women didn't like me much. And, luckily now, as you can see, my skin's pretty good. We're on Facebook Live right now as well. But, so what happened was I tried the benzoyl peroxide, as you know, is very common in the supermarkets. And that kind of worked for like one day. And then my acne came back and it was worse after using the benzoyl peroxide. Then I used the retin. After a while, I used something called Stridex pads, which you can get now that has the, salicylic acid. You know, these are all toxic things, by the way. And then the Stridex pads didn't seem to work that great. I ended up using something called Cleosin T. You can get it from a dermatologist. And that worked pretty well for like a week and three quarters. And then again, the acne came back and it kept getting worse and worse because nobody was addressing what was causing it. The dermatologist couldn't help. The skin specialist, Patrick.
I had no idea,
right? They were not able to help me.
That's
okay.
And
my father was a medical doctor. He was a psychiatrist and he sent me to this skin specialist and I'm not talking about any particular person, but anyway, they couldn't help me. So then I ended up using the retin A, which is what sometimes women will use for fine lines, you know, crow's feet. And, that's also toxic. That's a synthetic vitamin A and that didn't really work very well either. I used a tetracycline, which is an antibiotic, which basically kills off all your friendly bacteria in your gut. So somebody who made that tetracycline, they knew that there's a gut imbalance and that that's causing the acne, but they never went to help anyone like your listeners who have an opportunity to buy a quality probiotic from one of the people that you have on your show there. They didn't tell me about that. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
So I used that tetracycline. My gut got worse. My acne got worse. And then finally, I was near the end of the road and I used Accutane.
Accutane. Okay. What is Accutane?
Accutane is the most powerful acne medication available to anyone. So I bought it. They've been sued over and over again. They've had class action lawsuits. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this, but it's too late. And And so what happened was, I didn't have anything to do with any lawsuit or anything, but my skin, my acne went away completely. I mean, it was, my skin was perfect. It was as smooth as a baby's butt, Patrick.
Yeah.
And then the problem was my liver became toxed out. It said on the label of the Accutane, may cause a toxic liver, may cause liver damage. If you're a woman and you might be pregnant, you are not allowed to take this medication until you've had, a pregnancy test. And, you know, if you're a male, just go ahead to take it. No problem. You know, I was a male. I didn't even know what a liver was or where a liver was. I guess they didn't study that in high school. It wasn't part of my high school education for some reason. So at any rate, I took it and then I became, I had a toxic liver. I became really angry all the time. I started yelling at people. And I tore the two muscles on my body related to the liver. Each of them tore. I'd never torn a muscle in my life. They're called the pec major, sternal muscle, that, you know, the muscle that the bodybuilders have when they're at the gym, they're doing the bench press, that big muscle in the chest. That's the one that I tore one of those and I had to have the tendon reattached to my humerus, to my arm, you know, by a surgeon, because 90% of that tendon had torn. And then several years later, sure enough, I tore the other pec major, muscle, sternal muscle. And so, obviously I'd started to make connections and I was already studying professional applied kinesiology, which, makes the correlation that each muscle is related to a different organ and gland. And each muscle is also related to a different nutrient and they're related to a different emotion and they're related to a different homeopathic remedy, a different cranial suture, a different acupuncture meridian. There's all the, a different sound, a different color, you know, because of the chakra system, there's these different relationships to colors and sounds. And there's all these interrelationships and all these interrelationships is the world of professional applied kinesiology and functional healthcare, basically.
Okay.
Functional medicine.
What was the original cause of the acne that could be other people listening that have that issue?
I think I had an unhealthy and a toxic colon and I was eating a lot of pizza and eating a lot of real spicy food. I don't think I had enough zinc. I was low on zinc because I used to have those little white spots on my nails. So if you're listening and you see white spots on your fingernails, then you should probably take a zinc supplement for a while. I mean, I would take it for, you know, let's say 4 months. Zinc picolinate is one of the best forms of zinc on the market. Zinc picolinate, zinc carbonate's pretty good, but yeah, just get zinc picolinate.
Dr. Ilias Skolnikov is with us. Let's talk about some things for Mr. Liver overall, just that our listeners could think about trying if they just want to do a liver detox or just to keep their liver ongoing healthier.
Okay, Mr. Liver, why don't we try drinking a good quality spring water? Why don't we try finding out, you know, what is it about your liver that's not healthy? So try to go through and find out what's the cause. If you're using essential oils, just stop using them, you know. Just don't use them, even if they're really great coming from heaven or, you know, God has personally come to you in your dreams and told you to take one of these essential oils. Maybe you shouldn't use that. If you smoke cigarettes or pot, try to cut back. If you're doing prescription medications, use your prescription medications. Be safe. Don't do anything safe. Don't do anything without being under the care of a licensed healthcare provider. But consider maybe with the help of your licensed healthcare provider who prescribed you the medication to slowly start to wean yourself off anything that might be safe. If it's not an anti-seizure medication or if it's not an, you know, something to help you from being suicidal, then consider weaning yourself off of it very, very slowly and start exercising more often. And, the more exercise with your legs, that's aerobic. You could buy a book from Philip Maffetone, who trained more Olympic athletes than any other, trainer in history that I know of. He wrote a book called In Fitness and in Health. Everyone is an athlete. He wrote the big book of sports nutrition. He wrote several of these books. He's pretty well, you know, read and whatnot out there in the public. You can find it on the internet or bookstores. And that'll tell you how to have a healthy heart rate. Basically, he's saying your target heart rate while exercising to have aerobic exercises 180 minus your age. So, okay, so if you're 40 years old, 180 minus 40 is your, that's your baseline. So you can go 10 points above that and 10 points below.
Right.
So you could go, if you're 40 years old, you could go from about 130 to 150 would be your target heart rate. So stay within that. Don't go too low or too high. And then if you stay at that for a half hour or 40 minutes, three times a week, you know, start slow with exercise, real slow. Easy does it, you know. The turtle finishes the race here. Okay. So slow with exercise. If you start doing that three or four times a week, that would be great. Also, if you live in an area where it's sunny, or even if you don't, try to get sun regularly. Some of my patients, even though they're coming to me and I'm like the puzzle solver, they're shocked when I tell some of them when the weather's turning like it is now. Now it's a real cloudy day. Pardon me, your listeners. I drink, you know, it's a cloudy day. They, you know, I just tell them go to a tanning salon a couple weeks, days a week. I mean, if they're depressed, you know, then the tanning salon can help because it's stimulating the pineal gland. It's helping with their waking sleeping cycles. It's helping them with vitamin D. I mean, it's helping them to stay, you know, calm and easygoing. It doesn't mean they should do that all year or anything, but just if there's not enough natural sunlight at a particular time of the year, going to a tanning salon for 10 minutes, you know, once a week or twice a week, for some people, especially if they're having a low mood, it can really help them. So,
I didn't think those, so breaking, I've always thought of those things as being unhealthy to the lie in it. Those things don't croak you or irradiate you?
Well, you know, I'm glad you're asking. So a tanning salon should be, you know, these, everything should be done with the guidance of a licensed healthcare provider. You don't want to just go to a tanning salon because you think it's cool. But if you're in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, I mean, if you're in Washington, the state of Washington or Oregon, and, you know, it's raining a lot throughout the year, or if you're in a place where it just doesn't get that sunny and you're not getting enough natural sunlight, then
better, you know, than, you're better than not tanning. Yeah,
better than not, no, better. No natural sunlight at all.
Yeah. What, let's stick on the liver, some more thing, let's talk more, let's stay on the liver here a second and talk more about some things that you recommend to your.
Yeah, drinking at least a quart of spring water for every 50 pounds of body weight. So you might have just heard me because of this microphone picks up a lot of noise, but I just poured myself some water because, you know, I want to drink enough water while I'm doing the radio show.
Sure.
And so.
So you like a quart for 50 pounds of spring water. What else?
You can think about going and getting some milk thistle. If you're sure you have a toxic liver, be careful not to eat a lot of grains. Don't eat a lot of nuts or seeds or really spicy food. Spicy food is maybe not the main thing to have on your list, but, soy is terrible. So nuts and grains, don't eat a whole lot of eggs, or just try to eat, you know, a good protein source regularly, like beef, lamb, chicken, duck, Cornish game hen. Fish is the best, an Atlantic fish, like from the Atlantic Ocean. You know, they have inexpensive cod that they sell in different stores in California. Throughout the country, they have either Costco or Sam's Club or something like that. And you can go and get like a wild or a high quality fish from either Norway or Scotland or, you know, somewhere else that's, you know, not so bad. And you eat that regularly and you're getting plenty of iodine and plenty of,
overall,
you know, plenty of nutrients.
The overall liver likes more protein, especially fish in your opinion, rather than grains. Nuts do, or liver's not happy with nuts?
No.
How come? Really?
So it may seem like I'm giving my opinion. I'm actually not. I this is like a point of contention. This isn't sounding too weird, but this isn't my opinion at all. So the thing that we know is necessary for a healthy liver is you can't even detoxify the liver without protein. It's not possible, because phase one and phase two biochemical detoxification pathway that takes place in the liver does indeed require protein, mainly methionine. So that's why you'll see if you go and get a, like a liver detoxification shake from, you know, Metagenics or Thorne Research or Standard Process of Palmyra, Wisconsin, it always contains like a lot of protein. You know, they're protein supplements because those are the things that are necessary to detoxify the liver, minerals and protein.
Animal protein, not just protein, protein.
Well, you can do it in a million different ways, but if I go to Las Vegas and I want to win a lot of money, I'm going to play with $100 bills, you know. If I want to win just a little bit of money, then I play with quarters, nickels, dimes, and pennies. So I want to put in as much money into the slot machine as possible to get out as big of a win as possible, win thousands and thousands of dollars. Your big money is your logs that you throw on the fire, not the paper. Your logs are animal. We win with cow. We win with lamb, beef, chicken, especially Atlantic fish, which is a great animal to eat. So, you know, you need that in human nutrition. People are just so confused about this. And I don't know what to do anymore, Patrick. I mean, Dr. Weston Price, you know, wrote the book, you know, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration in the 1960s, I guess. And he studied all the, you know, all the people over there and the Australian Aborigines. And he went to different parts of the world and he saw that the introduction of sugar into the modern industrialized world has caused all our modern diseases, right? So this was all done a long time ago. And these Australian Aborigines, the Bushmen, guess who has the health? You'll never guess who has the healthiest hearts in the world, who's able to win the long distance racing in the Guinness Book of World Records. Guess what those guys are eating and what their hearts are like. Guess what they're eating. Guess what their main staple is. I guess you could guess because this is what we're talking about.
Animal protein.
They do what the American Indians did. Well, a little bit like it. So the American Indians would follow the herd. The herd of buffalo would travel throughout, you know, Wyoming, Arizona, whatever, and California, mainly in California. You know, at the time it was Mexico, and before it was Mexico, it was whatever. But they would travel there, and then they would just follow them around and kill one when they needed one and then eat it. And that's what they ate. They ate the buffalo and some other things. And then, industrialization started to come about. Agriculture is what I meant to say, not industrialization, agriculture. But anyway, same thing with these guys in Africa. They have their own little bison, their own cattle, and they would eat them when they need to, so they don't have to kill one, I guess. And then they would eat that all the time. And they even have, as one of their philosophies, not that I agree with it at all, but they would say, it's only wimpy people who are, you know, not strong and cowards. Those are the people who eat the vegetables and the fruits. It's the strong men, the warriors, they're the ones who will mainly only eat meat. And so they would take these flasks, it's like a gourd, and they would put maybe some milk in it, and they would clean it by putting fire in there, by putting smoke up in there, and they would carry around their milk and their cream, and they would carry around their blood. They would drink blood out of it, blood from the animal as well. That was the main thing, is the blood. And they're some of the healthiest people on the planet. They have the healthiest hearts. The Maasai and the Samburu tribes in the eastern part of Africa, they've had more research done on their hearts and their cholesterol levels than any other group of people. Over 20 different research studies just on these two tribes. And they've found that the more cholesterol they consume and the more animal protein they consume, the healthier their hearts. And they live a fairly long life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, we got to take a quick little break here. Dr. Ilya Skolnikov, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you have some email questions or comments, we got a few coming in here. We'll get to on this December 4 morning, 2018. If you haven't tried our cool little Pearlseum product that we promote, it's really, really neat. I have a couple containers. I put one in the bathroom and one in the sink, and you can brush your teeth with them. And then also take this internally, and it's real pearl, and it has calcium's the main thing, but it's there's magnesium in there, and there's a bunch of other different minerals, and some target proteins as well. You can also mix it with some face cream. One of our faves, we get a free tube of the aloe face cream when we get the pure, fresh, frozen aloe. We talk about Stockton Aloe One. I love that product. And then you can mix in the pearl seam and that, put that on your face, and then take it internally too. It's very nice. You can feel it too at night if you want to take some before you go to sleep. And it's a really fine way to get calcium and other minerals in your body as well. And it's called Pearlseum, and it's from real pearl, not just some made-up thing, mother of pearl or something like that. Real pearl, and it's Pearlseum. And if you click on the link, it's going to take you right to a little ad that will get you two bottles for a discounted price. And if you only want one, we'll just click through and just get the one. But we recommend that, and that way you'll get two, and it's at a good discount. Brush your teeth with it. It's really fun. Where do you see what it does for your teeth? And there's real science behind it, because it works on, helps the bone to build, and teeth are just bones. And I think you'll see some real improvement in your smile, and the color of the teeth is much more pearly. It's not like these people are bleaching their teeth and all this stuff, and you know, the Hollywood look and that white thing is not really good. You know, pearl really is. That's where the whole pearly white thing comes from. That's the real. So it's a more natural color, because what it's doing is really hardening the teeth and letting the light shine through. And as Dr. Ellie taught us, that's where the real beauty comes from, is the light coming into the tooth. It's not that the tooth is getting whiter, like I guess all the commercials are out there are doing. So pretty cool product. It's called Pearlseum. On OneRadioNetwork.com, you can click and order. Previously with Dr. Charles Gant, MD, sulfur.
I just wanted to say, Patrick, that I heard during the break talking to Dr. Stephanie. I'm a big fan of hers.
Are you really? She's great. This sulfur transferase thing and the glyphosates. Then there's also a genetic predisposition to this as well?
Yes.
Oh. That could complicate matters, too, for those on GMO foods, huh?
Exactly. But now that we're in this toxic age with the glyphosate and the massive sulfur deficiencies, and generally I recommend a little MSM, 500 milligrams, one twice a day for just about everybody, just to get some basic organic sulfur on board.
Do you feel like it helps them to get some of this yuck stuff out and clean out the trash?
Well, that's
the whole point.
Well, I can see that sulfur is a conjugator of toxins. Sulfur transferase transfers the sulfur. Sulfur has a love affair with heavy metals and other toxins. So, I mean, I saw that right from the beginning, and so I just assumed that a little bit of sulfur could help just about anybody.
Well, maybe you should take a little every day. You can click and order Pure Sulfur right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously with Daniel Vitalis, talking about elk velvet antler from Sir Thrival.
Elk antler or deer antler products are probably the most regenerative substance that we can find in nature, at least for mammals. A couple things that I think are really cool about it is that it's got six types of collagen.
That's really
amazing. When you think about the antler of an elk or a deer, these are an organ that grow in just 3 months' time and then fall off, and the very next year they grow back. Mammals don't typically regenerate organs that fall off, but antlers from all of the cervid mammals are completely regenerated. In order for them to regenerate, they need to contain substances that cause regeneration. And that's like the 24 growth factors that we find in elk velvet antler.
Regeneration, we like that word. Growth factors, we love that word. For boys and girls, that's you. Exclusively from Sir Thrival and exquisitely produced, Daniel Vitalis, OneRadioNetwork.com. And here's something pretty cool we just found out about last night. Boy, this is great. It's 10%. 10% off on all things from Sir Thrival. How long are they going to do this? I think through the 10th. So only have about a week. Yeah, through the 10th at midnight on the 10th of December, which I guess will be next, Monday. And all you got to do is use the promo code WINTER10, WINTER10, and you're going to get 10% off. And that's all Sir Thrival products. So we have the elk velvet antler, the pine pollen, colostrum, shaga, reishi, the digestive bitters, and I think that's what. Oh, he has the vitamin D K2, which is a really nice version of that. The ingredients there are very, very cool. So it's a great thing. Winter 10, that's the promo code. Winter 10, that's the promo code for 10% off, and that's going on until guess what? That'd be next Monday. Previously, we were talking with Brandon about the Blue Shield EMF device, and he says it goes out 90 yards in all directions.
It's an omnidirectional field that, if you think about a huge sphere that's expanding, that's essentially what the waveform pattern looks like.
Oh, that's cool. So it's putting frequencies into the body, and then how does that work in relation to electromagnetic field that's coming in the walls and the windows through a cell phone tower down the street?
Yeah, so the cell repeaters and Wi-Fi and all this electromagnetic radiation in the environment, people mistakenly think that this is somehow going to act like a shield and block the radiation and make it not appear on any kind of tri-field meter or any measuring device. And that's simply not the case. It's more of an energy medicine, so to speak, where it's stimulating the bodies at the cellular level to create a cellular response to make all the individual cells much stronger and more able to adapt to the EMF stressors. So that's number one on the physical or the somatic level, where the body is experiencing a decrease in stress from electromagnetic fields.
If you're interested, you can click on the Blue Shield ad on the front page of One Radio Network. Use promo code One Radio, or also contact Brandon through his website there when you click, and he'll give you more information. Front page, Blue Shield EMF protection device on OneRadioNetwork.com.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything.
Good morning, this is Patrick Timpone, December 4, 2018. And Dr. Ilya Skolnikov is with us out in California. His website is Triad of Health. You can go there, triadofhealth.net. Is it .net or .com?
.net, yeah, .net.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, yeah. Here's an email. This is from JP. I'm hearing Dr. Skolnikov being such a promoter of animal protein. Well, what about all of the different chemicals that the animals eat along with us people on the grasses and the feed and all that? Isn't that a problem for high protein? Thanks for the answering the question.
They filter them out, most of those chemicals in their liver and kidneys. So there's just, again, this is just one of those subjects. It's kind of like the water subject. There's just, the confusion is running rampant. So we're designed to eat these types of foods, and that's what we've been doing for several million years. They think that the thing that allowed our brains to develop to be the humans that we are today is large amounts of fat and large amounts of protein. So, you know, we used to eat any protein we could find, and many of our common ancestors were different sizes. Some of them were big, tall, huge humans. Some of them were little, tiny little 2-foot guys running around the place, primates. They were running around on 2 feet, and they would eat rats and that kind of thing. But, yeah, so the protein is, that's what's allowed us to be healthy and balanced and live in a society, you know, in a kind of a community where we would all share in the kind of thing that we would do. It was the introduction of sugar or agriculture that really led to huge structures, because too much power was centralized into one place. So whether it be in you know, a place like the United States or Europe where we have skyscrapers, or ancient Egypt where they had big pyramids, or these types of large pyramids were also in the Americas, the Mayans and the Aztecs, and in China they had similar huge structures. So they think that it's because we started to have, that's when they found all the modern bone diseases, was in, when they introduced, grains and sugars. So,
okay.
We know about this from human nutrition. There's just been a lot of confusion about it. And the other thing that there's been, should I keep going or not?
Well, okay. So I'm curious, Doc, what's the effect on the body, the benefits, say they have these great organic brown rice sprouted, protein, and you can do a couple scoops and get 25, grams or so of protein, milligrams, I guess, is it, or grams, no grams. What's the difference in the way the body reacts to that protein, or say a protein of, chicken or fish or beef? Is it really different and much, much more beneficial in your opinion?
Well, before I answer that question, do you mind me asking if you sell the brown rice protein on your
Don't worry about that. Because if I worried about everybody that we promote and having someone, don't worry about it. Just give me your honest opinion.
I want to win in Vegas, Patrick. When I go to Vegas, I want to win. I'm going to win 20 or 30 grand just when I go out there and I play the blackjack tables. I don't want to win $5 or $10. So if I put, you know, pennies into the slot machine, I can only win $5 or $10.
Okay, so you've said this before. So the meat
is your pennies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the thing that caused us to have all our modern diseases, was essentially the grains. We don't have an active appendix, so it's hard for us to break down all that fiber. Cows make cellulase enzyme. Humans don't make any cellulase enzyme. We can't break down the fiber. We just can't do it. We're not a chipmunk. We're not a ruminant like a cow. We just can't do it. We don't have an active appendix. It's inactive. It's a fossil from evolution. It does do important things with immunity, but it can't digest anymore. So we just have the one stomach only, and it's designed to be, we're an omnivore, right? So we eat vegetables. We eat everything. We could eat a little bit of nuts, and it's great when we're starving. All those people in China, I don't know how many millions of people there were thousands of years ago that were starving, but they decided they could take a toxic substance that's just not even palatable. It tastes terrible. You can't eat it. You can't do anything with it. It's filled with poison. And they decided that they could boil it up for a day or two, and then they could get it to rot, and then they could eat it, and it would be safe for a while. It would prevent them from starving. That substance is called soy. And now it's considered a health food, which is ironic in certain countries, and it's been outlawed in other countries. So no, soy is not healthy, and neither is brown rice protein is not that bad. I mean, it's not a big deal if you have, you know, a medical food and they've included that as an ingredient, but that's because the person who's using that particular product has never had anyone really help them to have proper digestion and absorption. So because they can't digest anything anyway, they just take a pre-digested, you know, substance like a brown rice protein or a pea protein or a
hemp protein what are some of the ones they're using now? Hemp protein and
collagen, hemp protein, whatever. They're taking some kind of a protein, right? The whey is what traditionally has been the most common among the nutrition companies, and then they take that and they feel great because all of a sudden they have protein. They founded protein. Like when Columbus discovered America, he didn't discover it. People were here, but nobody discovered protein. Protein's been there the whole time. But if people have terrible digestion, which we all have because we're stressed out, you know, you've heard that I know you're maybe a little older than me, that commercial for the Tums a long time ago, Tum, 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 Tum. And you see the guy running through the airport with his hot dog with mustard and, you know, he's eating the hot dog while he's running. That's your modern person, right? They're in the airport. They're running to their flight. They have their hot dog, and they can't digest when you're running. You're supposed to be like, you know, peaceful, you know, sitting down, having a loving conversation with your family. You know, nobody's supposed to be arguing. You're supposed to take your time. You're supposed to chew your food about 30 or 40 chews per bite. I keep saying these things on the radio that aren't correct. Like, it's not 30 or 40 bites, it's 30 or 40 chews, okay? So anyway, you're supposed to, you know, eat and digest properly, but people have poor digestion. That's why they developed the entire profession of naturopathy, is to help people with their poor digestion. But when people have their digestion working properly, you know, when they're able to have proper stomach acid to break down the minerals and protein that they're eating and then absorb it in their intestines and then eliminate it through their colon and their anus, then, yeah, they're pretty good and they don't need to go through all the crazy and buy all the supplements. They can just eat, you know, regular food, not supplements, not nutritional supplements, not food supplements, you know, not whole food supplements, but necessarily, but just real food, you know, like animals that died or vegetables that were grown or even a little bit of fruits that were grown somewhere that are not filled with stuff. They can eat that and they can get the benefit from it.
Okay. Here's an email of somebody. Emily wants to know then what do you recommend that people have for breakfast for, in the morning?
It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, meat and veggies would be great for every American.
Really? Meat in the morning.
Americans are the ones that are in trouble. Europe, they have the Nutella with their croissant. You know, they have the...
So you're talking about bacon and sausage and stuff like that? And
I would just stick with the ones that are not eggs and pork. Yeah, because eggs and pork are not the healthiest of...
Oh, they're not.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the pork?
The pork is an animal that eats its own fecal material. And it's very similar to humans. It's the animal that we eat in general that's the most closely related to humans. So we don't want to eat something that's like eating ourselves. That can cause a problem with the, you know, allergies and...
So you like something like...
shouldn't eat other humans either.
Like something like turkey sausage or something like that, or chicken sausage or something.
Something that's not fermented. Yeah, so good question. Sorry, I'm not being clear. So yeah, it'd be good to eat... you know, lamb or beef. I, for instance, I had some hamburger this morning, some like organic ground beef. I had some of that this morning. It was really inexpensive. It cost like $5.20 a pound. I got it from Costco and I had that with some, I cooked the seaweed, some kind of seaweed I had. I can't remember the name of the seaweed. And then I had a little bit of onions with that. And then, I don't know. To me, it tasted good. I'm not saying that
That's that organic beef that Costco has in the three packages. You get that one?
Yeah.
Feed my dog. That's what I feed her.
Your dog?
Yeah. That's what she eats.
I want to be like your dog for a while.
Yeah. It's a good price though, isn't it? I mean, I bought a case of it and I thought it was a very good price to find organic beef, and it's nice beef, you know. I cook myself
up some. My wife looks at me like a dog too, so I guess that you're not the only one.
What's that?
Sometimes my wife will call me Perito Pequeño, meaning like small dog.
Eating like small dog, Well, here's an email.
Yeah, so eating something that'll stabilize your blood sugar in the morning is the way to go, because cortisol levels should be highest in the morning, and the best way to stabilize cortisol is with, you know, a good quality fish, which is the best, or, you know, some beef or something like that. That would be the best two options would be a good quality, high quality fish or beef.
Okay. The cortisol levels are high in the morning. And when we eat animal protein, you say that stabilizes and we're more steady and stable than you think than up through lunch
just throughout the entire day, you know, eating a little bit of protein throughout the day. You want to keep the fire burning. You want to keep the fire burning with big branches. Maybe use some logs. You start the fire with paper. So, you know, every now and then having a little bit of fruit in between meals isn't a big deal.
But yeah.
What people have done in the United States is they've gone 5 fruits and vegetables every day. Eat the 5 fruits and vegetables. And it's like, really? Thank you so much. But I don't want to get involved with the bitter, sweet truth about fruit. The bittersweet truth about fruit is that we're a nation of people that are undernourished and over medicated, and we're chomping down on sugar. We have sugar addiction and carb addiction running rampant, and diabetes is on the rise. It's more and more people are getting diabetes. So I want to minimize my exposure to sugar and sweets, and I want to maximize my exposure to things that'll, you know, build my the health of my organs and glands and skin and all that kind of stuff, which is an organ. I don't want to have a lot of, you know, fruit or rice or pasta or bread or quinoa or, you know, spelt or
tortillas. All these grains affect the blood sugar.
About 99.99999% of them negatively affect the blood sugar. Not all of them, but most of them. Yeah.
Negatively affect.
Negatively cause your blood sugar to become too high or too low because they're broken down into sugar when you chew them. When the salivary amylase, starts to break down the thing that you're chewing in your mouth, the grain, it becomes a sugar. Again, there are some unusual exceptions, but in general, you know, most of them, that's what happens.
What's the, if you're going to do a complex carbohydrate, what do you think are some of the easiest ones on the body?
I think some easy ones are beets and carrots. And, if you're really healthy already, you know, maybe this wouldn't be a good idea for most people, but like a sweet potato, he has a lot of nutritional value, but it doesn't have much fiber. So something with enough fiber, like those things I just mentioned.
Beets, carrots.
Beets and carrots are relatively safe. Celery is not a complex carb, but, you know, just water with a little bit of fiber.
And how about in the, grain department, the best choices for a complex carb, in your opinion?
You mean if you're stuck as one of your listeners and you have to have your grain?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got this grain thing going on.
Toasted rice. Toasted brown rice. You take the brown rice and you don't add any water. You put it on the bottom of the pot. You add a bunch of butter and whatnot. You put it at a very low temperature. You get it toasty brown. And then after that, or toasty even like a toast, right? And then you add the water and then you make the rice and it'll burn out a lot of the carbs out of the rice, a lot of the sugar. And that should be a lot safer to eat. But I don't recommend those.
Yeah, I never heard that. Okay. How did you do that again? So you have just brown rice.
And, you take brown rice.
And you toasted it on
stick it in a pan or a pot. Mm-hmm. You don't add any, water at all. You just put the butter in there.
Yeah.
Put the butter in first if you want, then add the rice, get it toasted. And then once it's toasty, it's kind of looks a little funny. It gets a little bit brown or black. Then you, not too brown, you don't burn it. Just get it, you know, at a low flame, low temperature for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. And then you put in the water and make your rice. And that's toasted rice. That'll toast out or burn out a lot of the carbs and sugars out of the rice.
Never heard of that. So does that work with, any kind of, white or basmati or those kinds of, rices or just the brown?
It'll work with a couple of them, mainly the brown and the wild. It's from the Sugar Control Bible. I think it's Janet Paltrow. I can't remember her name. Who wrote that.
Yeah, so wild rice has the same components of the complex carbs, same issues in your opinion?
No, less, but these are things that are linked to bone diseases, right? It's in Egypt and Asia. Asians, you know, the Chinese have some of the highest levels of osteoporosis anywhere in the world. So I'm not going to recommend you guys get that. It's like, don't get me into trouble, man. You know,
I understand, but there are people that want to eat a little bit of carbs just because they want to. I'm just kind of trying to find some of the best ones.
How would you put it? I'm an altruist and a purist, right? Like, yeah. I'm like thinking of things and everything being ideal, right? My world is a make-believe fantasy world. I appreciate that I'm doing a radio show in the real world, but I'm living in a fantasy where everyone's healthy. And when everyone's healthy, it's different than the way things are now.
I understand, yeah.
We're about number 61 as far as I'm understanding it. There's different opinions about that. But when it comes to all the countries in the world, our country's like the 61st healthiest, meaning there's about 59 or 60 other countries that are healthier than the United States.
I've read that. Let's go to the phone. So let's get a phone call for it.
We're doing things all backwards. You know, we're half back. We're backwards.
Okay.
Right?
Let's go. Can you not hear me?
Hello,
doctor. Can you not hear me? Cause I'm trying and I'm talking over you trying to interrupt can you not hear me well?
No, I can hear you quite well.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the phone. Good morning. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Sean in Seattle.
Hi, Sean. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I have a question. I love all this information. It sounds great and whatnot, but I don't tend to trust 350 million fat, sick, and nearly dead people in America, but I do look at what I've heard before and researched of, you know, billions of other people, you know, nearly 5 billion people eating rice, for, you know, thousands of years, that are, you know, some of the longest lived people in the world. How, you know, we just talked about osteoporosis and whatnot, but we have centurions that have been eating rice for, you know, centuries. Can you help inform me a little bit on that and explain that when we got billions of people from the Indians to the Asians to the Mexicans, you know?
Okay, we got it. Yeah.
Explain that one?
Yeah, Doc?
Yeah, those are all the modern diseases that you're describing in those parts of the world. So all these modern diseases are directly linked to the introduction of agriculture. That's what we're going over. So for example, let's say we're talking about the American continent and we're going down to, you know, Central and South America. It was the introduction of agriculture for corn and maize, you know, where they started building these huge temples, you know, that would go up into the sky, and they would have to cultivate tons of corn, and they used the corn husk to start fires to heat up the stones that would then allow the them to be able to build their temples with, right? So the mortar and whatnot. So it worked out. I mean, they had huge temples. The problem was is that they caused deforestation, and there was little tiny desert areas there, and then there was no longer any way for them to subside. You know, they didn't have enough nutrients in the soil after over, you know, cultivating the corn, and you know, that's what they're thinking is the cause of these huge empires to have died out. I mean, not every one of them. I mean, Rome, you know, Rome was a little bit different, but the majority of them, you know, that's what happened. So the modern diseases, they found really, really healthy bone structures in people just about 25,000 or 30,000 years ago. So agriculture has only been around for 25 or 30,000 years. There were no grains around, you know, especially not wheat, up until, you know, they've only found it in the fossil records for less than 100,000 years. So that's the whole thing.
Let me just encapsulate what you're saying. So we keep it simple. So you're saying that you believe that there's evidence in the fossils and all the things that the grains have been a detriment to humankind.
It's not really my belief. It's just what we know from human nutrition. We know this. This isn't a theory. This isn't my opinion. This isn't
I understand.
I'm just going over it with you guys.
Yeah. No, I understand.
It's not like I'm on trial here. I mean, my cancer patients and all those guys, they've been vegetarians, and then we get them on a healthier diet, and all their, you know, the people, women who are not having a normal healthy cycle every month, they start having one. People who can't think clearly, they think clearly. The people who can't make the amino acids and needed to have proper health, they make them. Americans are stressed out. We're sick. We're not doing well. We're poisoned. We're toxic. It's a toxic nation. If you go to China, they're happy. You know, it's like it's a different way of life. There's less stress out in the mountainous regions. People don't have a whole lot of money. They're kind of broke. I mean, eating, like, you know, wild rice and, you know, having enough vegetables, which is almost the opposite of what a diabetic does. You know, a diabetic's having Coca-Colas and, you know, cheeseburgers and pizzas and stuff like that. They have jam with toast in the morning. They don't do that in China. So,
Fair enough, Doc. Okay.
China study is not a real study.
Okay.
It's not a study.
Sean?
I guess my question specifically was, I mean, I don't care. I'm not in love with rice or anything, but you know, I asked a question about rice and you went directly to corn and to wheat.
Same thing, but, grains. You know, yeah.
I'm not in love with rice or I'm not in love with anything. No. I mean, I got for kelp and I, you know, and I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan.
All right. Well, that's okay. All right. You got anything else, Sean? Yeah, okay, yeah.
He'll be okay if he's not a vegetarian or a vegan. I mean, I'm not trying to put down vegetarian or vegans. I mean, they're some of the friendliest, most caring, compassionate people around.
What you're just saying, you're saying that what you're seeing in your practice over these years is that the people generally do better with the animal protein rather than on a vegetarian diet. That pretty much encapsulates what
you... All healthcare professionals who really have their act together, who are helping their patients on a deeper level, we understand human health and nutrition, just like Mary Enig and just like the lady who wrote the book, Cholesterol Facts and Fantasies, you know, and the great cholesterol myth, and, you know, the guys who have been on your radio show, the great, you know, Oofs, again, I can't pronounce his name, Ivanov.
That's right. Ivanov. Okay, yeah. We get it. No, we understand.
Yeah. He's great. Yeah, they're all understanding what's happening in human health and nutrition, as do I, and we know that there's no place for the grains unless you're really starving and there's nothing to eat. And then you eat it and you survive for a starving person. Or, you know, I mean, a few nuts here and there is not a big deal. It's not a problem. There's nutritional value, but there's not much of it. And it causes ileocecal valve syndrome. The ear, if it's gritty and it irritates your tongue or your mouth while you chew it, it's going to irritate your intestinal lining. And some people have aches and pains in their wrists and ankles and their neck and their back, and they don't know what's causing it. It's often coming from their gut that's causing the, especially if there's pain, inflammation, and swelling, all of a sudden, it's a sudden onset, and they don't know what's caused it. That's the ileocecal valve syndrome. That's something that they ate. It's usually a nut, seed, spicy food, alcohol, chips, caffeine, popcorn, almond butter, peanut butter, cashew nut butter, chocolate, beans, or rice, or something like a nut or a seed. And that's usually the case, but everybody's slightly
It sounds
different.
Like you're saying nuts and seeds, as they are, can be fine in small amounts, and maybe we in the natural food people over the years have gone a little bonkers on the amount.
Gone a little nutty.
Yeah, gone a little nutty.
Sorry for the pun.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, so if you just have cashew nut chicken without soy, I mean, that's no big deal. You just cook it. You're cooking it, right? If you have some nuts here and there, it's okay, but don't have a bag of them.
No.
You know, people carry their bag of nuts around, and they think that they're getting nutrition, and they're not. It's not that they're not good people, and they
No, I understand.
Okay.
No, I got it. We get it. Okay. Hey, here's an email for you. The doc emphasized the value of testing, rather than just taking remedies that may have worked for others. Would kinesiology testing be more valuable than, say, a conventional medical blood lab test? It seems that kinesiology could tap into the innate wisdom of the body and reflect more and more than just a few items on a lab test. If so, is self-administered kinesiology testing feasible, or is it better with the help of somebody else?
Yeah, it's definitely better with the help of somebody else. I never muscle test myself, really, for most things, because I might make a mistake. So I go to a coach or a mentor or a doctor, right? And then they do the muscle testing for me because I don't want to screw it up. I don't mean to sound controversial, but energetically I seem to be pretty good. Like, I can energetically test myself for homeopathy. I don't know why. I'm about 88 or 92% there, but I'm still just testing myself for symptomatic things. I'm not getting to what's the cause of my energetic imbalance. I'm just treating the imbalance itself. So yeah, it's a good question. You got the best listeners, Patrick.
We got smart people, man. We got smart people.
Yeah. So the muscle testing and the professional applied kinesiology is only as good as the skills and training of the healthcare provider who is doing the testing. And it's only as good and effective as is the goodness and effectiveness of the peace found between the earpieces of that healthcare provider.
Mm-hmm.
As the thoughts and the brain and the thinking and the analytical process of that healthcare provider and their awareness and their, you know, so you can't just have any old applied kinesiologist. Preferably they should be a diplomate of the International Board of Applied Kinesiology, somebody who's, you know, seasoned and trained and skilled, who's gone through the testing and gone through the rigorous, training, and not just somebody who started doing it a couple of years ago and went to a 100-hour course, or even 20 years ago who went to a 100-hour course.
Okay.
That could be dangerous
and
not so great.
We got it. Tuesday, December 4th, Dr. Ilya Solnikov. Here's an email for you. This is from Mary, seeing that your guest is as an authority on the thyroid, does he believe taking thyroid medication, pig thyroid, like I'm taking, will eventually help the thyroid to heal, or am I going to have to be on this thyroid medication ongoing?
Yeah, so thyroid medication doesn't help the thyroid to heal if you could take it for a continuing period of time, because it's causing the thyroid not to make its own hormone. And also, depending on, I guess you're saying pig thyroid is more of a natural substance. It sort of depends on, you know, armor thyroid or nature thyroid. Those are, they get them from an animal, but still it's the hormone, right? So if you take a hormone, your body makes less of the hormone. So it doesn't mean you need to be on it for the rest of your life, but you need to find somebody who's really skilled and highly trained, who really understands the body to be able to help you. And there's not a ton of people who do that, or you need to be willing to make this the most important thing in your life and make major, huge lifestyle changes that especially involve the D-I-E-T word, diet, and which is also food and recipes and digestion. You know, you have to change your diet dramatically to be able to get off your, you know, whatever you're using, depending on how long you've been using it for. If it's been a couple months or less than a year or so, then you might be able to just do it on your own. If it's been more than a couple years, you're going to really need to concentrate and get us
be careful when you're trying to wean yourself off.
Be real careful, because it might be safe.
Yeah. What are some of the reasons why the thyroid is either generally, I guess, more low thyroid than I guess we have in our culture? What are some of the reasons other that are contributing to the thyroid not functioning as well as it should?
The person's probably not drinking enough water. They might have toxins throughout their body. 60% of thyroid hormone is converted from T4, which is inactive thyroid hormone, to T3, which is active thyroid hormone in the liver. So the liver deals with toxicity. If they're too toxic, they're going to have trouble making the conversion. So that could be an issue. The other thing that could be an issue is that maybe they're not eating enough protein, because protein is really necessary to make the thyroid hormone itself. The thyroglobulin is made from protein.
Isn't necessarily animal, or just any kind of protein?
Animal protein is in the right form for the person to be able to break down and digest and absorb, as long as they have a healthy parotid gland and that tags the food that's in their mouth to be able to know that there's iodine in the food, so that when they swallow it and it hits their stomach, the stomach can then pull the iodine out and then it can be deposited into the intestines, especially the jejunum of the small intestine, where it's then absorbed and made available for the thyroid to make either T4, which is four iodine molecules stuck together, or the T3, which is three iodine molecules stuck together.
Have you had success with just getting some of your low thyroid people, Doc, on animal protein, more of it, a lot more of it, say, with getting their thyroid back happy again?
All of them.
No kidding. Oh, I'll be done.
No joke.
No kidding. And so this animal protein has this special component, rather than whey or brown rice or something, protein or hemp, that the thyroid likes.
God figured it all out, yeah. Patrick. Mm-hmm. We don't want to argue with the big G. Mm. Whether it's a female or a male is not the point.
I wonder how people on a vegetarian lifestyle or vegan, you know, we've talked to them over the years and they seem well enough. How do they make it without animal protein? I mean, how is their thyroid working properly?
It's not.
But I mean, they look good and they sound good.
Not a long conversation there.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But I mean, they look good. They sound good. They seem like they're doing fine. What's that?
They do, but you haven't examined them the way I have. Coming to your office like they are mine.
No, I just talked to them.
They're not showing up with thyroid disease in your office the way they are in mine. Hmm. They're often tired. They don't have enough energy. Their skin is pasty. Their hair is graying. They are moody. They have troubles with their cycle if they're a female. If they're a male, they have troubles with libido. They often have joint pain and ankle pain. They get injured easily. Hmm. Sometimes they have a lot of cloudy thinking. They're often anemic. As you already know, they're probably low on vitamin B12 and iron, most likely, which means they're anemic, basically. And they have all kinds of mineral imbalances. They are good at certain things, but not good at others. So it sounds like I'm kind of being maybe harsh if you're listening to me, but I'm just going over with you what myself and all my colleagues
what's
have
your
found.
Experience is.
Doing this for 11 years
what's
or so.
What's your experience, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when you see enough of it, right. I guess when you see enough of it, it's hard to just turn your head and say, well, you know, that's just a coincidence, right? I mean, you sound, you're pretty convinced right. that this animal protein is a key player.
It's just the way humans are. It's just like a, uh-huh. yeah, I mean, yeah. So there's some guys who are these vegetarians that are doing all these amazing things in the gym. You know, they're doing the bodybuilding. They're doing all these calisthenics.
Yeah, we've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah, you've seen them on the internet. You've mm-hmm. heard about them on the social media and on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about it is that they're starting to develop like a heart condition, and you'll see what kind of supplements do they take? They're taking like these supplements that like you know push them, kind of like testosterone, kind of like you know like substances which. Are basically just because all their enzyme systems are starting to burn out and they're starting to stress their heart. So they may seem like they're really healthy, but you know, humans are amazing and life is incredible. You can do almost anything for a while, but after about 20, 30, 40 years or whatever, when you're burning out all your enzyme systems and you're cold all the time, you're not thinking clearly, you know, your body can just function without the things that are needed in human nutrition for only so long. So, yeah, I mean, people can get by and not starve if they're, you know, having a well-balanced, ground up seeds or they're, you know, really chewing uh-huh. their mm-hmm. nuts and their seeds really well. And they're eating a lot of, really healthy, you know, green leafy vegetables. They all have protein, by the way. The green leafy sure. vegetables all have protein. It's in the cell wall structures and whatnot. It's not just chlorella and whatnot, but the protein amount is just so little and so minimal. It's just really hard to extract it and make it available for a human because again we just have the one stomach.
Yeah.
And
do you think it's important to you think it's important to have vegetables when you do animal protein? Do you think it's necessary or good or does it matter?
The Maasai and the Samburu don't think so, but I do. Yeah, I'm not a Maasai warrior and I'm not a Samburu. I'm not chasing after, you know, animals that I then kill, like sure. little deer that run really fast. I'm just living in an industrialized United States. I live in Northern California right near San Francisco. So I need to have a bunch of vegetables. I need to have a lot of, protein. I want to, you know, I need to be happy. So being happy means I need to exercise and get sunlight and have a good relationship with friends and family and, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, protein is coming from the Latin word proteus. Proteus means of utmost importance. Meaning it's the most important thing. That's what the word means.
Is that where the word comes from? Really? Proteus?
That's where the word comes from.
I had no idea. Proteus? I'll be darned.
Yeah. Doctor comes from a word, Latin word, dottor, which means to teach. So doctors should be teachers. Patient comes from the Latin petor, which means to learn or student. It's a student. So the teachers are supposed to teach the student. The doctors are supposed to teach the patients. It's not supposed to be like I'm the puzzle solver. You guys are listening to me on the radio because you're the puzzles that I would then solve normally, right? So it's not the other way around. I'm not like wondering what's a good food to eat. I'm not curious. I'm not confused. I'm not giving my opinion. I'm telling you black and white exactly how it is. It's not my opinion. It's not something that like I'm just trying out. It's not like an experiment. It's not something I'm thinking about. It's just this is how it works. You can go through Weston Price's information. You can go through, you know, the EADS protein power. You can go through the hundreds and thousands, you know, hundreds of publications that have come out over the last 65 or 70 years and, you know, thousands even and learn all about it. Yeah, we can learn about what's really causing all the modern diseases is, you know, one of the big things. At least if we're just talking about nutrition, it's going to be, you know, the introduction of sugar, you know, processed sugar and also too much grains, for the modern people, you know, are strawberries with cream and sugar. You know, that's not so good. You know, the cream and sugar and strawberries aren't so good. That's too much, too much of there. You know, there's opium, you know, and dairy. I mean, I guess that's not a, you know, they found that these grains have exorphins. They stimulate the brain in the exact, almost the identical way to the way that opium does. You just go through.
What's that word you used?
Exorphins. It's not an endorphin. It's an exorphin. So the wheat has gluteomorphins. The dairy has caseomorphins. And the grains stimulate the centers of the brain in almost the same way. It's a little bit different, but almost the same way that gives you that high, that exorphin rush, like you're on opium, right? We're talking about opiates, opium receptors. Literally, it's the opiate chemicals. They're more so in the wheat and in the dairy, but you know, there's gluten in other grains as well. Like rye contains some gluten, and a lot of these grains, whether they have gluten or not, they still give you that exorphin rush. And so that's what Dr. Patricia McCampbell McBride discusses in her Gut and Psychology Syndrome, the GAPS diet.
The autistic
kids. Get the book and read it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And understand that this is like a real deal. This is the real deal. This is the link, the underlying causes, one of them, of autism and all the autism spectrum disorders, the dyspraxia, the ADD, the ADHD, the bipolar syndrome, all these thyroid disorders basically are directly linked to that kind of, like, you know, feeling like you're a little bit high, feeling like you're not getting brain fog, can't concentrate, a mild depression or a full-blown one, you know, manic depressive, you know, all this kind of stuff, or other kind of depressions, or anxiety, you know, et cetera.
Here's a good question for you.
To imbalance blood sugar. Protein stabilizes blood sugar. Protein, fat, and also the fibers, you know, fiber will all stabilize blood sugar in a good way.
Okay, here's a good question for you. I have tried eating more paleo style diet, writes Gary. He is in Cincinnati. And when I do, I tend to get low blood sugar and really crave getting some complex carbs like rice.
Absolutely.
You know, so what's going on with somebody like that?
So we want to be careful when we're on the radio doing a radio show.
Well, just in general,
Yeah, he's having a little bit of trouble with his health, right? So he's changed his diet and his body's not, able to keep his blood sugar stable, with this dramatic change. So he's not under the care of a licensed healthcare provider, most likely. It sounds like he's doing it on his own.
Right.
So he needs to get into it a little bit more slowly, you know, just start to make changes more slowly.
So if he needs to eat a little bit of carbs, if he needs to eat a little bit of carbs along the way, if he wants to do more animal protein, Doc, he would just say, just move into it slowly and don't go at all at once. Is that what you said?
Just do what works. Eat protein every half hour or hour if you need to. He's eating protein probably 3 or 4 times a day. He should be eating it every hour. Yeah. And he should eat a little bit of, a little bit more fiber too. See, we're talking about something that most people aren't doing in modern day anywhere, right? We're not fixing our own meals. We're not cooking our own meals. We're not eating our own meals with our family. Like in Italy and in Mexico, you know, you have siesta. You take 3 hours after in the afternoon. You have your lunch. You eat with your family. You fix your own food, and then you go back to work for a couple hours, and then that's it. And then you call it a day, and you do the same thing the next day. And you have paid vacation, and everything's great. You have a couple months of vacation every year, and that's paid. The government pays for it. It's a socialized democracy, right? But here in America, we're working, working, working. Go, 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 go. Oh, it's time to eat. Where's McDonald's? Where's Burger King? Where's a Jack in the Box? Where's a, you know, In-N-Out Burger? Where am I going to go? And we don't have time. And so we're not eating properly. We're not fixing our own food. We've lost touch with what it means to be healthy. That's why you have your show, because there's so much confusion for everyone. People don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to follow. They don't know, you know, there's so much confusion that, if you look in front of, you know, they don't even know who the leader is. The emperor is not wearing any clothes though. So you could figure it out if you just look at who gets results, you know. Is it somebody who's, you know, being a vegan and doing a vegetarian diet and talking about how great it is and they've written 15 books about it? Or, you know, with all due respect to them, Or is it the person like, you know, Mary Enig, you know, who's talking about good fats and bad fats? Or, you know, somebody like Dr. Patricia Campbell McBride, who's, you know, going over some of the problems with getting the adjuvants injected into you that are in vaccines. Sorry, I don't know what to do. I just kept going there.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Couldn't help myself.
We had a few more minutes. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. So you talk about the fats in muscle meats, though. Let's see, like a piece of ribeye, good stuff, or something like that. We're not getting a lot of fat there, are we? So do you encourage your people that you work with to have some more extra fat somewhere?
Yeah, some people eat too much fat and some people eat too little fat. Some people are gaining too much weight. Everybody's different. So my patients don't need a lot of extra fat. They just need to eat protein. And same thing with me. Like, I'm somebody's patient too. You know, I get help with my health and I don't need a lot of extra fat. But people are getting fooled into thinking there's a problem with fat. That fat
sure.
is bad.
Yeah. All right.
And that's not the case.
How about eggs and cheese?
Eggs are not so good. We've discussed that, and cheese is dairy. So cheese has the, you know, the caseomorphins, which is a opiate substance. So eating a little cheese here and there, if you can digest it okay, isn't so bad. I eat a little cheese here and there, but it's not a really healthy protein or healthy food. It's just for fun occasions, you know, like somebody's birthday or something.
Yeah, I got you. And eggs, what issues do you have with eggs? Do eggs need a PR agent at your office?
Well, it's the same protein as the protein in our blood. It's called myoglobulin. So if you eat too much of that, your body gets confused and it might start to have the autoimmune disease. Some scientists think that your body will start to attack its own blood, which it will do in lupus. But so with all the autoimmune diseases, you really have to be careful, and no reason to get an autoimmune disease if you don't already have one. Just try to avoid eggs. They're a common allergen. Just, you know, beware. Eggs are not so ideal.
A lot of folks are allergic to eggs and don't know it, do you think?
Sensitive, yeah, they have an IgG allergy, meaning it's a delayed allergic response. It may not, you know, the response may not be there for a week. I mean, it's different than an IgE where they're rushed to the hospital. It's a slow allergic response. It's more of like a food sensitivity. But yeah, there's an allergic component to it. The complementary system starts to act up, meaning they start to fight off or attack what the body thinks is a foreign invader. You don't want your body attacking a foreign invader, which is eggs, that has myoglobulin, which is the same protein that's in your own blood, and then have your body start to attack its own blood. You know, that does, again, the language I'm using and the way I'm talking about it is just to kind of give you an idea of what happens, but it doesn't happen exactly that way in the body. But this is what some people are describing, some healthcare providers, some scientists.
So if you're going so you'd rather see people, if they're going to do animal protein, good vegetables with it rather than, or bacon and vegetables, or if they're going to do bacon or something like that rather than bacon and eggs.
Well, bacon is fermented, so it's kind of loaded up with bacteria. It's not very healthy. It's pork, right? So avoiding pork, avoiding bacon would be a good idea. People don't necessarily have to like what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I don't feel like I need to be liked. I just want people to know the truth. I'm not trying to be as popular as some of your other speakers necessarily, or some of the people you hear on TV. I think people deserve to know the truth if they're alive. You know, I'm trying to help out my fellow human beings. I like the way bacon tastes. You know, I love coddled eggs and, you know, eggs, all kinds of hollandaise sauce and stuff like that. Having a little bit of that every now and then is no big deal. It's fine. You know, eat eggs. Just people are used to, some people are eating them every morning and that's not so good.
That's
going to cause a problem. There's almost no methionine in eggs. The nutrient value is low. It's not an ideal food.
Okay, let's take this phone call.
Be fearful.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Sharon. Good morning.
Who's this?
This is Sharon. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the very cold skies of the Great Northwest.
Okay. What can we do for you?
Well, so I've been listening to the whole program, and I want to thank you for your time, Doc, for coming on. My question is twofold here. From the standpoint of all the research that I've been doing, I mean, I've I've lived a relatively very healthy diet, eating a lot of meat. And I've recently cut back on all meat, every meat. I've cut it out of my diet. I'm not going vegan. I'm not going all that. And just, I feel like the research that I've done on the way the inhumane treatment of animals, even in the organic realm, and I shop only organic health stores and Costco as well, but, you know, for me, I feel better eating less meat. And so you started out, you know, the whole time talking about, you know, you need to, what works for one person doesn't work for another person, and we're all individuals, and I get all that. I guess my main question is, going back to the protein, you know, for me, am I still getting a well-balanced, having, you know, like the One World Whey shakes and getting more of that type of protein rather than not getting from the chicken, the beef, you know, that kind of diet. I guess we just kind of want your feedback to maybe wrap that up a little bit.
Okay. Doc?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, different people do different things. You can have the shakes. You can do the things that your neighbors and friends are doing. It just depends on where you're at in your life and with your health and whether or not you're ready to take your health to the next level. You know, a lot of these shakes, if you look at the ingredients and you really do a Google search for each ingredient and see what's in it, among the first 3 to 5 ingredients tend to be sugar. You know, they'll say, you know, or MCE, you know, they'll have different ways that they disguise the sugar, but find out about what's in your shake and think about what you're doing. I think, Sharon, you probably could have better digestion, in my opinion, and then you'd be able to digest the meat and get the value out of it. But if you're low on zinc and you can't digest the meat properly, zinc being the most common nutritional deficiency in the United States, then you can't even make the stomach acid needed to break down the protein and then absorb it. So that could be part of the puzzle. And diabetics, for example, you know, Norman Cousins did a lot of research on some diabetics, and he found that he could reverse diabetes by just putting them on like a vegan diet with all fresh fruits and vegetables for a month or two. Because the diabetics were so toxic, all the toxins came out and they saw all their blood labs change. But that doesn't mean that 6 months or 2 or 3 years later that they would be just as healthy as they were when they first started pulling out the poisons and toxins. So, you know, there's different things that can be done. But again, find somebody you feel comfortable with, somebody who's licensed or who knows a lot about health, who studied it a lot. And, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to give a suggestion. You don't have to follow up on this if you don't want to. But see if they can support you.
I know I'm not calling you to diagnose and anything like that. I guess my main question is, you know, going back to talking about proteins and stuff that we were talking about earlier, it's like, you know, there's no reported cases in history of people having a protein deficiency. We're getting nutrients, but we're having
proteinemia, hypoproteinemia, the cause of most modern diseases. There's not pellagra, and no, there's definitely cases of tons of people having protein deficiency constantly. That's the most common thing that we find in clinical practice is dehydration and protein deficiency. That's the most common thing that we find. That's the whole point. Diabetes, all these modern diseases are due to protein deficiency. That's the whole idea. Well, that's the whole point. That's what we're talking about. Protein deficiency. Kidney disease even. Yeah.
Well, what I was getting at is, you know, people aren't dying of protein deficiency. They're dying of diseases, and they're dying of diseases on an increase of, yes, what you're talking about, of an increase of the wheat, the dairy, the sugars, all that.
Those are non-proteins that destabilize blood sugar, and protein and fats and minerals stabilize blood sugar along with fiber. So all those diseases are caused by protein deficiency that then lead people to die. Heart disease is the number one thing we've been talking about. All those cholesterol studies were done on the Maasai that eat tons of protein, and they never, almost ever get heart disease. Of course, they have less stress because they're not in an industrialized kind of thing, but still, you know, they're doing great.
They're not eating the American processed chickens. They're eating the chickens like mine.
They don't eat that.
That have
That's terrible.
And so when we're talking about eating meat, you know, I guess I hasten that if I know I'm not getting meat that is being farmed appropriately, it's going to do greater harm to my body by the hormones and by environment that the animals
correct.
Have been put into, correct? But what
yeah.
you said
so
earlier,
eat,
you're
eat kosher meat that's killed in a way that's okay for the animal where it doesn't have to suffer painlessly. But make sure you don't get caught up
You don't want to eat their adrenaline. You don't want to eat the adrenaline through their body and their
there
living conditions.
There is none if it's kosher. Yeah, there is none. There's no adrenaline.
When you're talking about earlier about eating the chickens and everything or eating the various animals, you said their liver is going to excrete those chemicals that have been put into it.
It's not too bad.
Okay, Sharon.
It's not too big of a problem if you look for organic and kosher food. I mean, yeah, you don't want to have factory farmed protein. It's no good. It's disgusting. I mean, it's nasty.
Right.
You're going to get into trouble.
So, I guess to end this question, how much would you recommend a person have of, you're highly talking about the fish, and I love fish, but, you know, you're having beef this morning. Will you have any more meat today? Or will you have just
one meal?
Yeah,
I'll just have three meals in a day.
Pardon?
Of protein. Yeah, protein at every meal. Meat and veggies each meal. Yeah, I don't need to have 6 or 5 protein meals per day because my blood sugar is relatively balanced, you know, more so than most, better balanced than most people. I'm 48 years old, so I'll just have like 3 meals per day. Sometimes I have 4, but I always have 3. You know, I'm busy and my blood sugar is not that amazing. I mean, I can't just have 1 or 2 meals, so I end up having about 3 for
meal,
me, for my
every
body.
Meal is, every meal you're having meat and vegetables.
Just like we've done for the last couple million years, that's how I do it, yeah. Actually, a lot of people didn't have any vegetables for a couple million years. We just had the meat and whatever we could find. Some people ate leaves and some veggies that were safe, but, you know, some of them were poisonous, so they didn't want to get into trouble.
Okay, Sharon.
They'd also go periods of time not eating, you know, because they had to go find it.
All right, Sharon, thanks for calling. So your experience with yourself and others, to kind of encapsulate that, the animal protein and the vegetables can keep the blood sugar stable, ongoing.
Yeah, you could have 1 or 2 apples and you're done. Mm-hmm. Your blood sugar is so imbalanced that you can't get it to stabilize then over the course of the day, you know, and that can affect sleep and digestion and mood and everything, memory and et cetera.
Let me ask you, when
some
do...
Some people, it doesn't. So,
yeah.
Huh?
So what would be your fasting blood sugar? Do you take that ever in the morning?
Not a whole lot. Okay. The last time I checked it was about 96 or 97.
That seems even higher than what I would suspect on the kind of diet you eat. That's really interesting. Well, really?
Or actually more, a little lower, around like 88 to 92.
Right around there. So after you eat a meat meal, meat and vegetables, and say you do your blood sugar a couple hours after that, what does it go to? Do you know?
I'm not sure. It should be pretty stable, though. We want to keep it relatively stable. Yeah, we don't want to have it go way up or way down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, you don't want to have high and low blood sugar. You just want to have it kind of even keel. That's how we avoid all the modern diseases and the bone diseases. You know, cortisol is what.
That's when we feel the best. We feel the best. We feel more stable when our blood sugar stays stable, like all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Stable blood sugar, stable person, stable mood, stable, everything stable. Yeah.
Kind of like unlike society is today, right? Everybody,
right?
It's up and
right.
down, up and down.
You look at a lot of these high money earning people. I don't know if anyone's interested in this kind of stuff, like some real estate gurus and things like that.
Right.
They're exercising every day, and they eat protein throughout the day each day. And a lot of them will eat a fair amount of fish, like a healthy fish, and that's what they're eating. Every one of them is different. Some of them are not that healthy, but I mean, the ones that are fairly healthy have a lot of energy and thinking clearly. Overall, that tends to be what they're doing. And they have plenty of money, so they can just get the most expensive of the proteins.
Yeah. Send out for a buffalo burger to be delivered or something. Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, Doc.
Or whatever they want.
Yeah. Yo, I know that you have patience, and we're going to go. And thanks for being on. We had fun today.
Thank you.
It was called, his website is called, triadofhealth.net, and it's Dr. Ilya Skolnikov and a chiropractor, and he does consultations, and you can work with people. You work with people around the country if they can do it. They don't have to be in San Francisco.
Yeah, we can work with anyone anywhere in the world, and if they're listening to your show, that they can get a little bit of a discount too.
So that's cool.
Good.
Give them a break. Yeah. All right, Doc. Well, have a good day. We enjoyed talking to you. It was fun. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks for everything. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great, fun couple hours there.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks. Dr. Ilya Skolnikov, and boy, he likes a lot of meat, huh? Well, if you're a meat guy, and we've had quite a few people of late, not quite a few, but three or four different people that are doing this whole, carnivore diet. You know, they're just doing a lot of meat. Okay, so it's always fun getting different ideas here. On Thursday, who do we have coming up here? Oh, yeah. This fellow's great. He was on about 5 years ago, and really interesting guy. I think you're going to enjoy him. It's Dr. Master Shi Gang Sha, and we'll talk about some spiritual, emotional, mental things, and Nadine Artemis. She's going to be here on Thursday. Andrew will also be here on Wednesday. And we'll do open phones probably. And Doodle and I will be here on Friday. Okay, so I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. We appreciate you sticking around and being with us on our live shows. Don't forget, we have about 2,500 shows in our archives. And they're all free and open to anyone around the world, whoever you are. And you can just put in different words and search terms into our search engine and get those. Okay? And just find whatever you want. Listen away. So I'll see you tomorrow with Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money, and may the blessings be.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.